उद्धर भवान्नवान् श्रीमल्भागवदाख्योऽयं प्रत्यक्ष कृष्णमेवहि श्रीकृतोऽसि मया नाथ मुक्त्यर्थं भवसागरे मनोरथे मदीयोऽयं सफला सर्वदा त्वया नर्विघ्नेनैव कर्तव्यं दासोऽहं तव केशवाम् भवे भवे यथा भक्ति पदयोस्तव जायते तदा कुरुष्व देवेश नाथस्त्वं नो यद प्रभो नासंकीर्तनं यस्य सर्वपाप प्रणाशनं प्रणामो दुःखशमनं तं नमामि हरिं परम् जन्माद्यस्य यदोन्वयादिदरद चार्तेषु अभिज्ञस्वराल् तेने ब्रह्म हृदा या आदिगवये मुह्यन्दियल् सूरयाः तेजो वारिमृदं यथा विनिमयो यत्र त्रिसर्गो मृषा धाम्ना स्वेन सदा निरस्तकुहकं सत्यं परं धीमहि धर्म प्रोज्जित कैलवोत्र परमो निर्मल्सराणां सदां वेद्यं वास्तवमत्र वस्तु शिवदं तावत्त्रयोन्मूलनम् श्रीमल्भागवते महामुनिकृते किं वा परे ईश्वरः सद्यो हृद्यवरुद्यनेत्र कृतिभिः शुश्रूषुभिः तल्क्षणान् निगमकल्पतरोर्गलितं फलं शुकमुखादमृतं द्रवसंयुगम् पिबद भागवतं रसमालयं मुहुरहोरसिका भुविभावुकाः सच्चिदानन्दरूपाय विश्वोत्पत्यादिहेतवे तावत्त्रयविनाशाय श्रीकृष्णाय वयं नमाम् यं प्रव्रजन्तम् अनुभेदम् अपेदकृत्यं द्वैपायनो विरहकादरमजुहावाम् पुत्रेदि तन्मयदया तरवोऽभिनेदु तं सर्वभूतहृदयं मुनिम् आनदोऽस्मि यस्वानुभावमखिलश्रुतिसारमेकम् अध्यात्मदीपम् अतिथिदीर्षदां तमोऽन्धं संसारिणां करुणयाः पुराणगुह्यं तं व्याससूनुम् उपयामि गुरुं मुनीनां नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये कमनीय किशोरमुग्धमूर्ते कलवेणुकुणितादृदाननेन्दोः मम वाचि विजृम्भदां मुरारे मधुरिन्न कनिकापि कापि कापि नमाम विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रस्थाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिन् इति नामिनि नमस्ते सरस्वती देवीं गौरवाणी प्रचारिणि निर्विशेषा शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यादेशधारिणि श्रीमल्गुरुचरणारविन्दाभ्यां नमः वन्दे नन्दव्रजस्त्रीणां पदरेणुमभीष्णश यासं हरिगदो गीतं पुनादि भुवनत्रयं गोपीचरणारविन्दपरमाणवे नमः पीताम्बरं करविराजितचक्रशङ्ख कौमोदगी सरसिजं करुणासमुद्रं राधासहायम् अतिसुन्दरमन्दहासं वातालयेशमनिशं हृदि भावयामि ॐ श्रीकृष्णाय नमः मोघं करोति वाचालं पङ्गुं लङ्घयते गिरिं यल्कृवातमहं वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवम् कोमलं कूजयन् वेणुं श्यामलोयं कुमारक वेदवेद्यपरं ब्रह्म भासदां पुरतो मम இந்தி ஸ்ரீமத் பாகவதம் வாயில் வேதவியாச மகர்ஷி கம்பைல் ஸ்ரீமத் பாகவதம் யூ வில் சி தட் இன் டிஃப்ரெண்ட் கேண்டோஸ் ஆஃப் தி பாகவதம் தெர் இஸ் ரெஃபரன்ஸ் டு Sri Sukhan or Sukadeva Goswami's evaluation of Krishna. He evaluates Krishna. In a way, in the Bhagavatam it is referred to, at the particularly in certain special occasions, like during the 7 days of time when Parikshit Maharaj was hearing Srimad Bhagavatam from Shaishoga Maharshi in the banks of the river Ganges. Parikshit Maharaj was very keen to understand that why Sukadeva Goswami in different instances paid his obeisances to Krishna. There is not a lot of obeisances in the Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam particularly, there is two or three occasions where Sukadeva Goswami got up from his seat and paid his full respects to Krishna. And in these instances, particularly, Sukadeva Goswami had a special reason for doing that. That you will see, if you read through Bhagavatam carefully, you will find all these interesting things in the Bhagavatam. Why Sukadeva Goswami paid obeisances at that particular point in time while speaking to Parikshit Maharaj. So, when the churning of the milk ocean happened, after this has happened, Sukadeva Goswami and this pastime with Lord Shiva and Krishna together, the dress of Mohini, Krishna took in the form of Mohini, Lord Shiva got attracted to that. And eventually, Sukadeva Goswami evaluates Krishna at that time and trying to make a comment on that and that what Krishna has done and what that will help for the ordinary people like us in studying Srimad Bhagavatam. Similarly, at the end of Ekadasi Skandam, on the 11th canto also, after Krishna has instructed Uddhava of this highest transcendental knowledge, of the what it is said in the Bhagavatam is that Krishna churned the whole Vedic literature and he took out the essence from the Vedic literature and gave it to Uddhava. Vedic literature is so vast, it is so difficult for one person to study the whole lifetime and to understand what Vedas are referring to. Because Karmagandam, Jnanagandam, Upasanagandam, the three different divisions in the Vedic process, that is all covered by the Puranas, Upanishads and the Vedas. Vedas mostly refer to the Karmaganda section, Upanishads refers to the Jnanagandam and Puranas refers to the Upasanagandam. That is how it is. But even though one spends his whole lifetime, still to come to some firm conclusion after studying the Vedic literature is very, very difficult. Because that is why it requires the help of the Acharyas and the help of the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. So Krishna himself, out of his compassion for Uddhava, he took the essence of the whole Vedic conclusions and gave that to Uddhava in a plate, and that is the instructions to Uddhava. So at the end of those instructions, Uddhava went to Badrinath, and at that time the last verse was spoken by Sukadeva Goswami, and that is how he concluded the Ekadasi Skandam. And in there he said, Bhava Bhayam Abharandam Jnana Vidyana Saram Nigamakrutu Bajakre Brangaval Veda Saram Amrutam Udhada Dishcha Vayayal Bhritya Vargan Purusha Krishava Vadhyam Krishna Samyam Natosmi. It is this verse what Sukadeva Goswami said to Parikshit Maharaj. After saying this verse, Sukadeva Goswami got up from his seat and completely paid his full obeisances to Krishna. What does it mean? Bhava bhayam abharandam jnana vijnana saram. That every living entity in this material world is frightened of death. And not only death, those who are strictly followers of the Vedic philosophy, they are also frightened of birth again. After leaving this body, to accept another body again is frightening. That only when we see other living entities in this world struggling with their life, fighting against the material nature, material energy, and always being threatened by the other species for their survival. And when you see that and think about that, within that living entity there is another soul who has got into that condition somehow or the other. And tomorrow, what is the guarantee that the same situation will not happen to us? Because particularly we have to be more concerned, because in this age our activities are so degraded that we have to be fearful about getting another inferior body. So because of all these things, that fear is referred to as bhava. Bhava-bhayam. Bhava-bhayam means that fear from accepting another material body again, and at the same time, while the fear of leaving this material body also. Bhava-bhayam abahandam jnana-vijnana-saram. That to get out of this fear, there is only one way one can get out of this. That is by cultivating the understanding of spiritual life from the Supreme Lord Krishna Himself. So Krishna, what He did was, He churned the Vedic literature, He completely gone through it, He completely took the essence of all that. Jnana vijnana saram. The essence of all the Vedic literature, He took it together and then He handed that over to Uddhava. Exactly like Nigamakrupajakhre Bhangaval Veda saram. Just like when a bee goes to suck the honey from a flower, it won't stay there forever. There is a reason behind it. You will see that also comes in the 24 spiritual masters, it's mentioned there. It goes and takes something out of the flower. Because if it stays there too long, there is a possibility that in the evening when the sun sets, the flower will close itself. Just like the lotus flower, it closes. And in that possibility that it could get killed, get trapped there, and may not be able to escape from that. Because of that, he takes a little bit from the flower and then leaves the place. Similarly, he only takes the essence from there. He doesn't try to take so many other things from the flower. He only takes the essence from the flower. Exactly like that. What Krishna did was, Nigamakrupajakhre Vrindaval Vedasaram. The Vedasaram, the essence of all the Vedas, Krishna took it together, put it together and gave it to Uddhava. Amrutapadadadishyabhayayal Vrithyavargan. Then when Krishna took the form of Mohini, who was Mohini's servants? Mohini's servants were both the demigods and also the demons were there. But the demigods are considered to be the servants of Krishna. The demons always act in an opposite way than to the desire of Krishna. Because the demigods depend on Krishna all the time, Krishna considers that their protection is his responsibility. So in this situation also, Amrutamrutadishyabhayayal Vrithyavargan, or the servants of Krishna, the demigods, seeing their condition, Krishna felt compassion for them. And the result was that Amrutamrutadishyabhayayal Vrithyavargan, Krishna took the nectar and distributed to these demigods, just out of compassion for them. Although demigods tried to protest against this, but in spite of that, Krishna managed to escape. Krishna managed to keep the demons in control and distributed this nectar of the nectar to the demigods, so they could get back their health again and live in the heavenly planets. Purusha-hrishabha-madhyam-krishna-samyam-nadosmi. Srimad Bhagavatam says, that personality who has done this, with this understanding that Purusha, that personality, Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, I pay my obeisances to Him. And this is that prayer in the Ekadasya Skandam in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So, like this, in different instances, when Krishna has been evaluated and Krishna has been assessed, we can say in one word, that by Sudeva Goswami and many other great sages also, while writing their commentaries on the Bhagavatam, they have done this. It is not unhappy for Krishna. Krishna wants to hear from the devotee what they thought about that particular pastime or Krishna's activity. And Krishna enjoys listening to them, and in instances, Krishna has either refuted it or in some instances he has agreed with it. So that is how the close interaction between Krishna's devotees and Krishna happens. And this is somewhat interesting in the sense that sometimes when Krishna wants to hear, most dear thing to Krishna is to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam is very, very dear to Krishna. And that is why all the time Srimad Bhagavatam is spoken in the temples just to please the Supreme Lord first, not for the devotees. It is for the Krishna to hear. So Krishna enjoys hearing Srimad Bhagavatam as much as, even more than, a devotee who hears Srimad Bhagavatam. So once a devotee actually decided to summarize Srimad Bhagavatam, and to recite it to Krishna every day, and he continued this for many, many days. And at the end of the 10th canto, when he has completed all the pastimes of Krishna, he summarized the whole pastimes, what is in the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is about 90 chapters in the 10th canto, refers to Krishna's pastimes. So after these 90 chapters were summarized and spoken, Krishna heard everything. This devotee decided now that now I will conclude my writing of Srimad Bhagavatam or summary of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Just like many devotees have, in fact, due to some reason or the other, had done this. I do not know why, but it has happened in Srila Prabhupada's case also. That although after the 10th canto was written, Prabhupada did not pursue, could not do it for reasons unknown completely, but as I understand that, for one reason was that Prabhupada moved on to other books to write. Perhaps Prabhupada's desire was, Srila Prabhupada's desire was to continue the 11th and 12th later on. For some reason Prabhupada decided like that, which I don't know why it was, it has happened. And this has happened in many instances in the past also. When the Ekadasi Skandam, the 11th canto is very, very confidential and it requires tremendous effort for the commentator also to summarize Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th and 12th cantos. So anyway, this devotee also thought the same thing and he decided that he will summarize the whole thing into one or two verses and complete his summarization of the Srimad Bhagavatam there and leave the temple. This was in his mind. With this intention, he decided to summarize the whole 11th canto in one verse. Actually, strictly speaking, in the 11th canto, there's only two topics that are discussed. One, it is the Vasudeva Narada Samvadam, as it is referred to in the Bhagavatam. Sri Narada Maharshi instructing Krishna's parents, Vasudeva and Devaki, about spiritual life. This is one of the topics in that 11th canto. And during that process of instruction, there were so many valuable points were raised by Vasudev. Actually, Vasudev and Devaki did not require these instructions. After all, Krishna has come to them as their son, and there was no question of Vasudev and Devaki again requiring another spiritual life. But then why did this happen? This happened because when Krishna appeared in the prison house of Kamsa, at the same time, Vasudev and Devaki glorified Krishna in the four-handed form as well as when four-handed form changed into the two hands, the baby Krishna. So when in that form, when Krishna was glorified, Krishna told them that, to both Vasudev and Devaki, that in future you should look after me like your dear child, and at the same time you should see me as a Supreme Personality of Godhead. This instruction was given in the prison to Vasudeva and Devaki. But somehow or the other, throughout their life, Vasudeva and Devaki saw Krishna as their beloved child. They have forgotten the other instruction. This is what has happened. Exactly like Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda Devi saw Krishna as their beloved son, and how they had 12 glorious years in Vrindavanam looking after Krishna. That opportunity was denied to Devaki Devi and Vasudeva. And Devaki Devi was particularly very hurt and was feeling that separation from Krishna so much that when Krishna later on came back to their life, they have forgotten the other instruction, what Krishna has given them at the time of appearance. This is what happened to them. So both Vasudeva and Devaki completely forgotten that Krishna was to be seen as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, a Brahma Bhavana as it is referred to. That Putra Bhavana and Brahma Bhavana, as the Son as well as the Supreme Lord. So they have completely forgotten that aspect of it. Rather, they got attached to Krishna as their Son. So when this happened, Krishna decided just before he left this world that both Vasudeva and Devaki should develop the understanding of the Absolute Truth in me. And with that understanding, he decided to send Sri Narada Muni there to instruct them. Prior to that also, Narada Muni visited the palace many, many times. And never once Vasudeva has asked Sri Narada Muni anything about spiritual life before, any time before. And so many instances they used to meet each other, talk about various things. But never once Sri Narada Muni was questioned by Vasudeva about spiritual life, about understanding Krishna's position as the Absolute Truth. So, but somehow or the other, this one particular time, when Sri Narada Muni came to the palace of Vasudev, Vasudev and Devaki paid their obeisances to Sri Narada Muni and raised a number of questions. So these questions and the answers from Sri Narada Muni, that comes in the first 4 to 5 chapters in the Srimad Bhagavatam 11th canto. Ekadasi Skandam is only two topics. This is one of the topics. The second topic is the instruction from Krishna to Uddhava. 26 chapters, it refers to 1036 verses. Krishna has instructed the, summarized the whole transcendental knowledge, what Krishna instructed Arjuna, and even beyond, what Krishna thought would be beneficial to a devotee. He summarized everything in these 26 chapters and gave it to Uddhava. So these two things happened in the Ekadasha Skandam. In the 11th canto, these are the two topics. So this devotee who was summarizing Srimad Bhagavatam, he summarized this whole Ekadasha Skandam and these two incidents in one verse and presented to Krishna. And after Krishna was listening to this, not that Krishna was unaware of what was going on. Everything what goes on inside, what happens outside is known to Krishna. That is why Antaryami, as he is referred to, one is inside and one is outside. Since nobody can get away with anything from Krishna. So anyway, this devotee did that. And after doing that, he thought that he should now evaluate Krishna's pastimes also in one verse and complete the commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam. So I was listening to this, that this particular verse he mentioned to Krishna was, Soyam Krishna Vadaro Jayadi, that this Krishna's appearance of Krishna is constantly, is always winning the world. It is winning the world all the time, in the past, in the present, and in the future. That is how he started the verse. So he was talking to Krishna like this, Soyam Krishna Vadaro Jayadi Tava Vibhom, that this Krishna Vadaram, this appearance of Krishna in this world, he is winning the people all the time. All the time, that it is never seems to come to an end. And Jayadi Dava Vibhom, that addressing to Krishna, he said, Krishna wanted to find out why, what was he trying to say by this. Yatra Sauharda Vidi Sneha Dveshanuryagham Prabhuda Ahimulam Ashramei Yoga Vedehi. That he said to Krishna, that this Krishnavadaram or Krishna's appearance is winning the whole world all the time. And Krishna wanted to hear further why he is talking like this. Yatra Sauharda Vidi, that why did he say this? Because when Krishna was on this planet, Krishna did many wonderful things. So Krishna was thinking that, what he's trying to tell me, that because I killed so many demons, and I have killed Kamsa also, and so many other persons who are creating disturbances in this world, is that the reason why he is commenting to me, telling me that Krishnavadaram Jayadi? The devotee said, no, that others have also done. Prior to this, so many other demigods have killed Krishna. Lord Shiva has come, Kartikeya has come, even Ganesh has done, and so many other demigods in different forms, they have appeared when there was a difficulty with the demonic population. And they were able to kill those powerful demons also. Krishna has also killed many demons. So it cannot be that, the devotee explained to Krishna, that I do not consider that as a very something extraordinary than what others have not done. Soyam Krishna Avataro Jayadi Murarivo Yatra Sauharda Vidim. But then what happens is that that what else Krishna has done in this world, what others have not done? This question automatically comes. That as far as killing of demons are concerned, Krishna has done that, and others have also, there are other people who have done that. Yatra Sauharda Vidim. That something else Krishna has done. Krishna is known for or worshipped by the great acharyas for one reason and one reason only. That is, Krishna has given the transcendental knowledge to this world. In other words, through Bhagavad Gita, 700 verses, and through Ekadasha Skandam, 1036 verses, Krishna completely summarized the whole essence of spiritual life and gave it to this world. Not only that, he instructed Arjuna and Uddhava through Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam. He tried through these two messages, what he left behind, many other people were able to take advantage of it and make a success in their spiritual life. This is what has happened. So in other words, Krishna is that one personality who by his instructions alone tried to raise the human society from its unfortunate condition to a higher life of spiritual reality. So that, therefore, Krishna is also referred to as the Supreme Spiritual Master. Vasudeva Sudam Devam Kamsajanurya Vardhanam Devani Paramanandam Krishnam Vande Jagalgurum. So Krishna is also known as Jagalguru or the Supreme Spiritual Master. In the Bhagavad Gita also it says, Yatra Yogeshara Krishna Yatra Vartho Dhanurdhana. Tatra Shir Vijayo Bodhir Dhruvo Nidharma Dharma Mam. That wherever Krishna and Arjuna is there, there is no question of failure. It has to be a success. But here we find that Krishna has instructed the world through Bhagavad Gita and Ekadasha Skandam Srimad Bhagavatam. So Krishna thought that probably that is why this devotee was referring to me. Soyam Krishna Avadaro Jaini Munaribo Yatra Sangirtana Dev Yatra Sauharda Bhini. That devotee said, no, that is also many people have done to some degree in this world. Not only that, when Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita, Krishna never said that this is the knowledge that I am giving to you, something new. He will say that, he will use as the word there, Yoga Proto Puradana. It is one of the oldest knowledge. It always existed from time immemorial. In other words, as long as Krishna, how old Krishna is, that old is that knowledge also. You cannot separate the knowledge from Krishna. As long as Krishna was breathing, the Vedas were breathing. In other words, the knowledge that Krishna has given to this world, Krishna has spoken about it, Krishna says, in due course of time, somehow or the other, the knowledge got lost. And the same knowledge, I am repeating it again. And that is how he spoke Bhagavad Gita. So that is also not something which is some completely some special about Krishna. Although by Krishna's mercy, we all have fortunate enough to have Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. But at the same time, what we have to remember is that this ancient knowledge, which has been existing from time immemorial, which has been practiced and nurtured by the great sages, that Krishna has again given a second life to it by preaching through Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam. So even that is not the another consideration as far as this devotee was concerned. So you can see different devotees see Krishna in different ways. When Krishna consciousness is vibrating inside, the devotee automatically want to understand Krishna's all aspects. That desire will always be there. And due to the mercy of Krishna and to the devotee's sincerity, Krishna reveals so many understanding of the personality of Krishna to that devotee. So he said to Krishna that if it is like that, Krishna was speaking to, Krishna was asking the devotee that what is actually then that made you to feel this need to evaluate me like this. Soyam Krishna Avataro Jayani Muraribo Yatra Sauharda Bhini. That during the time when Krishna was in the planet, the devotee said many, many other people were able to take advantage of that. In other words, they all understood that if somehow or the other, if we can develop a relationship with Krishna, that will eventually become successful. So this is the most important point to remember. No other incarnation you will find this speciality with Krishna, what Krishna has done. That when Krishna was on the planet, many, many devotees, demons, all of them went back to the spiritual world. How did they go back? Like Kamsa. Kamsa was, what was that? Kamsa's relationship with Krishna was fear. It was purely on a fear, fearful mood. Kamsa was related to Krishna. Shishubala was related to Krishna out of anger. And both, and like this you will find so many persons who came to Krishna with a degraded mind. With a degraded mind, they came to Krishna. How did the gopis come to Krishna? Gopis came to Krishna purely out of lust. Lust was behind it, the fact that they attracted Krishna to them. And Krishna sent them back to the spiritual world. The same gopis, they were elevated to be the topmost devotees. And Krishna gave the mercy to Kamsa that you don't stay here, now you go back to Vaikuntha. That is what Krishna's instructions to Kamsa was. Similarly to Shishubala, Shishubala, the way he abused Krishna that in the Rajasuya sacrifice, and the way Krishna responded to that, and the way he sent him back to the spiritual world, is something very difficult to understand. The Yudhishthira Maharaj, who was running the sacrifice, who has spent 17 months and 17 days, that is how long Rajasuya sacrifice lasted in Hastinapur. So during this long period of time, there is a whole reference to this Rajasuya sacrifice, how opulent and elaborate the sacrifice was. You can't even imagine the standards what they had for the whole period of time due to the presence of the Supreme Lord there. So even that Yudhishthira Maharaj, after seeing that Shishubala was going back to the spiritual world, he was completely in wonder, and he could not understand that me, I am doing all these things to Krishna and I am still here. What is my future? This is what he was thinking about. And here is that Krishna was sending back one after the other, Pudana, Kamsa, and now Shishubala also. So this is the special aspect of Krishna that has attracted many people, that they came to Krishna with one mind, and the result was they were able to use that relationship to their advantage. Kamsa, out of fear, that in the Bhagavatam if you read, Kamsa's fear of Krishna was mentioned. While walking, while sleeping, while eating, while bathing, while going, moving around, everywhere he was seeing Krishna. To such a degree he was Krishna conscious. He became Krishna conscious at the end. That was his good fortune. So that fear, what was built in Kamsa's heart, grew very strongly. And at the end, Krishna had no option except to send him back to the spiritual world again. Similarly, our Shishupala also created so much so much hate towards Krishna. He abused Krishna to such a degree in the Rajasuya sacrifice. Bhimasena wanted to kill him at the very moment. But Krishna stopped that from doing that, and he eventually killed Bhimasena himself. So this was another thing which Krishna has done to Shishupala, and Shishupala's good fortune that he could go back to the spiritual world. So this has happened to Kamsa, this has happened to Shishupala. Think about Pudana. Pudana, when Krishna was only 6 months old, Pudana came to visit Krishna with the sole intention of poisoning Krishna and killing him. And that is why Uddhava, when he mentioned this story, Uddhava could not control his tears, thinking about this personality Krishna and his magnanimity in dealing with even the demonic personalities. Aho bhagiyam stane kala kudam jikhasaya payadapya sadvi lebhegadim datrujidam kudonyo kamvadayanam sharanam prajamam. In the Bhagavatam, that is a verse Uddhava has used while discussing this to Udhara. That aho vidura, aho bhagiyam stane kala kudam, that the poison what she was carrying on her breast to feed Krishna, jikhasaya payadapya sadvi, exactly like a nurse was trying to nurse the baby, Pudana tried, took over Krishna and started feeding this breast to him. Lebhegadim datrujidam kutonyo kamvadayalim sharanam rajamam. That just like a nurse, she came whole with the complete intention of killing Krishna. And what did Krishna do? Send her, fully knowing what was happening, send her back to the, you are less like my mother, you gave me, breastfed me, I should send you back to a better place and send her back to the spiritual world. All these things have happened. Now, when we think about all these things, naturally, we would also be interested to know how this can happen to us. It's quite natural. It's not unusual. Because all these things, hate, anger, fear, all these things are human emotions. And when these emotions, when it gets to a very, very powerful degree, to a very, very high intensity or high degree, automatically Krishna releases us from that state of mind and sends us back to the spiritual world. This is the speciality of Krishna's appearance. So, as far as we are concerned, is there a possibility of fearing Krishna like the way Kamsa has feared? That is also not possible. Is it possible that we could hate Krishna or we get angry with Krishna just like the way Shishupala has done? That is also not possible. So, we are in an unfortunate situation that we can't have a relationship with Krishna in any way. Neither like Kamsa had, nor Shishupala had, nor the gopis had. Gopis had such a high degree of attachment to Krishna in the early days that eventually they became so pure in their consciousness that you find that Krishna glorifies them and says that I go for their association to purify myself. To such a degree Krishna started glorifying them. So this is Krishna. Then Krishna's relationship with Krishna by all these great devotees is also not possible for us in our present state of mind. But if you look in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that all these qualities, what the gopis have exhibited, or what Shishupala has exhibited, Krishna is condemning them in the Bhagavad Gita. Kama yesha krodha yesha rajo guna samal bhavam. From rajogunam comes these two things, lust and anger. Krishna says there, kama yesha krodha yesha, they are considered to be brothers. Kamam is the eldest brother and krodham is the younger brother. So normally these two brothers go together. When the lust is not satisfied, or some material desires are not satisfied, it's not satisfied, mainly is followed by the anger after that. So therefore they are known as two brothers. Kama yesha krodha yesha rajoguna samulbhava. That it is from rajoguna. Krishna condemns this to such a degree in the Bhagavad Gita. And here Krishna is sending them back to the spiritual world, those who have gone to the highest degree. So what do we do now? If this is the situation, devotee said to Krishna, he was talking to Krishna very openly about this, and Krishna was listening to this. A little boy, 3 or 4 years old, hearing all these things, what is going through this devotee's mind. So it was then that he understood that what Krishna was expecting from him was to say further than that and take it further and explain that what he thought that one could do in this life. That is also very interesting, because it is this quality that others have capitalized on that. You will notice, you can look into many devotees' life, you will see this quality. All these human emotions like fear, like anger, like lust, how those devotees were able to transform. We have one quality in all of us, which all of us are holding very strongly in this lifetime. And if you can use those that particular quality in Krishna, in relationship with Krishna, automatically Krishna rewards and uses that quality to get us out also. In the Bhagavatam, it's very clearly mentioned these things, that is the quality known as distress. This distress, everyone is experiencing in this world. There is nobody who is free. No one can say, I am free from distress in this world. In fact, we came to this world in distressful condition. It is crying that we came to this world. There was nothing else we could offer. It was definitely not the cry from happiness. It was certainly the cry of distress that while coming into this world we came into. And similarly, after that, throughout the lifetime, if you look there, you will see it was nothing but crying only in some form or the other. Either crying or making others cry with our efforts, which we have done very nicely. And at the end of all these things, when we leave this world also, it comes to such a high degree while leaving this body that you cry again. So it is all the way through from beginning to end, it is nothing but crying. That's what is happening in our life. Nobody can say that, oh, I am not going through a hard time, I am enjoying life. That is not the very conclusion. The very conclusion is that every living entity is experiencing distress in this world. No one is free from that distress. And when that distress is getting difficult to bear with, then we come to Krishna. It is then that a devotee goes to Krishna to understand from Krishna that where is the possibility that sneha sauharda bidhi prabhurdivi anilei, that all these qualities, what we are talking about is this distress that comes to us, if that can be directed towards Krishna, that becomes the source of liberation for a living conditioned soul. That is what has happened in the life of many great devotees. Many scholars and many devotees who have taken Srimad Bhagavatam in their hand and they approached Krishna with this distress in their heart. And when that distress became unbearable for them, and when Krishna understood that their hearts were burning because of the distress they were experiencing in their life, Krishna has released them from that distress once for all. And so they have come to Krishna with distress. And they went back from Krishna completely free from all distress. You will notice even in Gaudiya Vaishnava tradition, if you look back into all the Acharya's case, this was the main factor that has kept them very close to Krishna. Including our own spiritual master Srila Prabhupada, he had distress in his heart. It was the distress that has brought him closer to Krishna. When the distress got so high that he forgot everything else in this world, Krishna consciousness became the topmost priority in life. And when we talk about serving the spiritual master, it's coming from this distress. It is the distress that pushes a person in the spiritual life to go further. Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami, when they were serving the Chandkhasi under his service, when they were executing as the treasurer and prime minister, if you read through Chaitanya Charitamrita, you will find what a distressful condition they were going through. So it is from this distress that their Krishna consciousness blossomed, or their Krishna consciousness bloomed. And this distress that has made them to come closer to Krishna. So similarly, all of us who are not much different in any way in this aspect, experiencing the distress of this material world, Shastra says that if you can direct your distress towards Krishna, one day Krishna will also understand, depending on that, these are all like fear, like anger, like lust. This distress is also another human emotions. So using these human emotions to go back to Krishna is what this Krishna's appearance has taught this world. In no other incarnation this has happened. That one could, and if there is a solution in spiritual life, it has to be applicable for all times, and it has to be practical for everybody in the world. And it has to be sarvakalikam, and it is for all times and for all people to use it. And this Krishna consciousness, which coming through distress, when one develops it, that consciousness will support him or help him in his spiritual life to go back home, back to Krishna. So because we do not, we are trying to take Krishna consciousness as a science, and we are trying to understand that. Although in the regular process, due to the Vaidika Vidhi or the practice of devotional services will help a person to come to this understanding in due course, the principle underlying behind all these things is that when the distress becomes so unbearable that the devotee's heart is becoming so burning with this distress, Krishna decides to allow him to come back to the spiritual world. So this opportunity Krishna gave us through these appearances, Krishna, when Krishna came to this world, and many devotees managed to take advantage of it. And in every devotee's case, if you look into, you will notice that this is one quality they always had cultivated, that they were unbearable for them. The material conditions of life, material energy, material nature is constantly giving them so much pain in different ways. And when through that pain, they came to Krishna. They came to Krishna for their, as a shelter. They took Krishna shelter. Krishna offered them that shelter in such a way that eventually they had no more material distress. What happened after them? Not only that they were relieved from the distress, they were able to relieve the distress of many others as well. This is another interesting thing. That in the normal lifetime, we have so many relief organizations. That's also you find. That is, the government sets up relief organizations, United Nations have relief organizations. But you have never seen that the relief work they have done, hardly they leave the place, they come back, the misery starts again, they're in a different form. You have never seen their relief work working anywhere. It's only a relief for a temporary, such a temporary relief, that they are not able to give a real relief to the, because they themselves are in distress. You can only relieve somebody else's distress if you are free from distress yourself. But when you are not free from distress, where is the question of relieving somebody else's distress? And this is the question we have to ask, that all these relief organizations and energy we spend, our efforts we put into it to relieve the distress of so many other people, at the end no relief is there, no distress is relieved at the end. But spiritual life and Krishna consciousness, when a devotee who has gone to Krishna, and when the Krishna has given him, has relieved his distress, then that devotee can relieve others' distress as well. Just like Srila Prabhupada did with many other people. Prabhupada was able to relieve their distress. Why? Because he himself was not in distress. He has gone out of that distressful condition. That is Krishna's way of doing things. That is why in the Vedic tradition, that if you become a devotee of Krishna, and if you perfect your life in Krishna consciousness, you can be the greatest help in this world more than any other relief organization. Because that relief what you offer to the living entity is the real relief. All other relief is simply considered to be a patchwork solution. It is no better than that. Sneha sauharda bhidi prabhrtimiranilai ashramai yoga vedehi. That the devotee said to Krishna like this, that this is what I see from your appearance in this world. And the devotee, Krishna was immensely pleased by this judgment of the devotees. And that evening, when he finished there, he left it, handed over, he paid his obeisances to Krishna, and he went back to rest in his house, which was not far away from the temple. So he went home, and he went to take rest, because he has spent the whole day in summarizing Srimad Bhagavatam. He was a great devotee, and as a devotee, he felt the need to go through. That is what we said, Srimad Bhagavata Kyoyam Pratyaksha Krishna Vevahi. That Pratyaksha Krishna is present there in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Those who want to find Krishna, they can find him even today in the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is the message of Srimad Bhagavatam. So this devotee went back to the place where he was living. Leaving there, finishing the 11th canto and 12th canto in one verse, evaluating Krishna, he closed his commentary and left the book there on the Krishna's, in front of Krishna, and he went back to his room. Krishna understood the whole situation. He's only a little boy, 4 or 5 years old. He was seeing all these things. This is something unusual, he thought, because all these days he was sitting there and talking to me about my various pastimes in Vrindavanam, Mathura and Dwaraka. And today he has decided to close the whole chapter. And it looks to me, Krishna felt that, he gives me the impression that he is planning to leave tomorrow. So that very evening, in the evening about 7 o'clock, after the evening arati, Krishna decided to go and see him and have a chat with him direct. Took the flute in the hand, left the temple and walked into the house where he was living. By the time he got there, this devotee was struggling with his health. Health was not in a very good shape. He was already taking rest and he was gone into a sort of a dream state. Krishna went up to him and asked him, "What's the plan?" he said. "What's your plan now? It's all happening in the dream to him. What's the plan now?" Devotee said, "Can you not stay for another couple of days more before we leave the place?" Krishna's request was like that. Before he could answer, he woke up from the dream. "Then what can you do? This is a problem in the dream. Even if you want to answer somebody, you can't answer anything. All that happens in the dream is that you are getting the instruction." But before he could answer, he woke up from the dream. Then you woke up, when you have a dream like that, Krishna coming and talking to you in the dream, generally there is a statement that when you have a nice dream, when you wake up from the dream, you should sit and try to think about that dream. And it's very pleasant also when you have a nice dream to analyze the dream. But most of us don't get very many nice dreams. All the dreams what we get is from the job or the workplace, the fear from the bosses or whoever is trying to give you trouble in this world. That's the sort of dreams what appears to us. But in the Vedic culture, it wasn't like that. They have not had a situation like we are living in today, always under anxiety and fear of the bosses threatening us and extracting the best what they can get out of us and creating a frightful dreams as well, the sleepless nights, what we have to go through. But in this devotee's case, he was experiencing that dream in such a way that it was an enjoyable dream, Krishna coming and telling him that he should stay a couple of days more. So he decided that that evening he was experiencing this dream, and that day morning, next day morning, he thought about this. Why did Krishna ask me to stay a couple of days more? He was trying to understand, because it is natural when you get a personal relationship with Krishna, you also want to understand what Krishna's mind is working at, what Krishna's plans are. That is a special relationship with the devotee and the Supreme Lord. The devotee went back to the temple next day morning, not knowing what he should do the next day. Then he went back to take to Srimad Bhagavatam again and started reading through. So when he realized that there were some more things he has left behind in the 10th canto, particularly the two chapters, one refers to the Bhrigu Parishad, Bhrigu Maharshi going to Vaikuntha planet and testing testing Mahavishnu, and later on in Brahmaloka, Lord Brahma and Shiva in Kailasa. That story he has completely left out in his commentary in the Bhagavatam. So he thought that maybe Krishna wanted me to write this. And another one he has left behind was the story of Rugasura. Rugasura's story is also in the Bhagavatam. All these stories were very, very dear to Krishna. While summarizing Srimad Bhagavatam, somehow or the other he could not do it in detail. Thought that he will take the majority of the major things, what he thought attractive to his mind, he picked them up. And he summarized them very, very nicely, particularly the Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavanam. He summarized them very well. But when it came to the pastimes later on, at the very end of Krishna's pastimes in this world, he somehow or the other did not give much importance to Vrigasura's story and the story of Vrigamani visiting Vaikuntha. These two things he left behind. So in another two chapters, he completed those two chapters and he thought, this is perhaps, Krishna told me to stay two more days, I have done that now. And here is the Srimad Bhagavatam's commentary, handed over that and he left back and went back to his home again. When he went back, Krishna said, what about now, the 11th canto? Why not 11th canto? This Ekadasha Skandham, which is more dear to Krishna than anything else, this is the knowledge he gave to Uddhava, this is the knowledge Uddhava took to Badrinath, and later on, which came in the Srimad Bhagavatam, where Sukadeva Goswami spoke to Parikshit Maharaj about it in detail. Krishna wanted to hear that. But this devotee felt a little discomfort. He was thinking that Ekadasha Skandham is very, very deep and very highly difficult to summarize easily, unlike the other stories in the Srimad Bhagavatam. The beginning of Bhagavatam, right up to end of 10th canto, it is in the form of stories. And stories, it is not difficult to summarize. The summarizing Srimad Bhagavatam is also a special ability and it requires tremendous understanding of the language and also to speak in a way that Krishna will not be offended. That requires much more understanding of the book of Bhagavatam. And this particular devotee, when he was doing this, throughout the night, the Bhagavatam was going through his mind. Because the next day when he wanted to summarize Bhagavatam, he can only do that. You have to prepare yourself in your mind. What was the different verses Sudeva Goswami spoke to Parikshit Maharaj? What was going through his mind? All these things has to come through. Only then you can do it properly. So this was working in his mind all the time. And after doing this, when he came to the 11th canto, the devotee thought that perhaps it is something which I cannot handle myself, because of the depth involved in that, because it is not purely a story, it is the instruction, it is a shastra, it's a science which Krishna is now dictating to Uddhava. And to summarize that in a few verses is very difficult for me to do, so rather let me stay out of it. And this was in his mind. And that very evening, Krishna walked in again in the evening to him and told him, what are you planning now? He said, I have done, and the devotee was thinking, I have done everything what Krishna has told me to do. I spent the 2 days here and what he has requested, now I am trying to leave tomorrow. Okay, the purpose for which I have come, I have stayed here for nearly almost 91 days. And after 91 days, I have decided to leave now. The reason for that was also another thing behind it, that the great festival in the temple was coming very closer, Ekadashi festival. So famous Ekadashi, it's that Ekadashi when Krishna was bathed the first time by Surabhi cow with milk. And that is why in the many, many big temples, when Krishna is bathed by milk today, they will remember this Ekadashi day festival, which happened 5,000 years ago when Krishna was a little boy, when Surabhi came first time and bathed Krishna with milk. And from then on, Krishna is bathed by milk in all the temples, by the devotees, for this reason. That therefore he was known as Govinda, as he took over the charge of the cows. He took over the charge from Indra. Indra was considered to be in charge of the cows up to that time. But Surabhi requested Krishna, from now on, that you should take of our responsibility. And it is then that Krishna became Govinda. So this incident has happened, and this festival of Ekadashi was coming closer. Because the festival was coming, people will come from all over the country, will come to the temple. They will come, the festival will last for about 8 or 10 days. And what type of people will come for the festival? Not only devotees, all types of people will come. Some of them will be devotees, some of them may not be devotees, some of them may not have enough faith in Krishna's words. Some of them will see, they will still come to the temple, because in the Vedic system, that the temple was the center of attraction in everything. That they will come to the temple, the Yajna Brahmanas, Brahmanas who perform sacrifices. There will also be people who will come to the temple because this is another social occasion for them to meet with other people whom they have known before, or as a social etiquette they will come to the temple. So some of them were known to him, and it is possible that some of them may ask, now what has happened to you? You have been here paying your obeisances to Krishna day and night and trying to serve Krishna. What has happened to you now? Has anything changed with your situation? So if they ask that question, if anybody puts that question to me, that will be very, very very painful, because many people, when they don't have faith in Krishna's words, they will try to make everything looks very, very, they will try to ridicule Krishna's instructions and devotees. This is the nature among the many people. And that is normal in this world. It is, devotees have to always take that you cannot avoid it. That when you try to develop a very slight degree of attachment to Krishna, especially in the early days of bhakti, one has to be extremely careful that one word from a non-devotee is enough to get him out of the spiritual life completely. That is how powerful the words of the non-devotees are. So therefore, these personalities who come, they come to the temple, they follow everything, but at the same time, they have no attachment for Krishna. They do not accept that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Nor do they enjoy Krishna, reading about Krishna or hearing about Krishna or chanting the holy name of Krishna. When that is the situation, association with them will not help me. So with all these things in his mind, this devotee wanted to leave there, because he knew Ekadashi was coming and a lot of people will be coming, and some of them will be like this. They may ask me this, but by now, serving 90 days, Krishna serving him in the temple, I have a certain very, very slight degree of attachment of hearing about Krishna. Even that I may lose. This fear came to him. So this is what was actually worrying him. So he thought himself that rather than I go away, and if I lose this little attachment what I have built up after so many days of effort, and whatever attachment I have, let me not lose that. He said to Krishna, Pavoyam Krishna Rame Thagilavati Nijam Guhidam Duscharitram Narlajasya Sevacham Bhavanita Kadani Yanime Vignidhani Bradhami Vandeshilo Nijavadakilam Vishnumitham Budam Steninandi Uchair Hasandi Toini Hidayadim Tadrishamma Kradhamam. His prayer to Krishna was, Pavoyam Krishna Ramini. Every time I recite your name, the holy name of Krishna and Rama, Ahiravadini Jambuhinam Duscharitram, the worldly minded, materially motivated people is abusing me. Why? They say, this man is sitting here, whole time he is chanting the holy name, he is not doing any work. As far as they are concerned, only if you are working very hard, you are entitled for food. Otherwise you should not eat. There is a lot of people who have this strong concept in their head, that they are very strongly convinced that if you are practicing spiritual life, you are not doing any work in this world, are you? You are only taking the society's food and eating it happily and saying that you are in spiritual life. And you escape from everything and use this excuse that you are serving Krishna, the Supreme Lord, so you don't have any obligations in this world. And we people work, pay our taxes, and we feed you, and you eat all that, and you are telling us what we should do in life. Pavoyam Krishna Rami Thagilabadinijam Guhidam Duscharitram Narlajasya Sevajan Bhodarakananiyanime Vignidhani. Then when they talk to me like that, I get hurt, the devotee said to Krishna, because that these people who talk about it in this way, they cannot see that who is the proprietor. That if Krishna is the proprietor, have I got the right to ask Krishna? And I am living in this world out of Krishna's mercy. It is you who is providing me food, not anyone else. Bradhami Vandyashilu, my own dear brother, he is thinking about me like this. What do I do? Vishnumitham Budamste Nindandi, always they are insulting me. And when they see me chanting, Uchair Hasandi, they are always laughing very loudly, seeing my chanting. And they say to each other that, look at this person, he is so sinful, you know, he has to chant the holy name all the time. Look at us, we have not committed anything sinful, we are so pure. Because he is so guilty, his guilty consciousness, that is why he is chanting. And they jump into some conclusions as well, after all this. Pavoyam Krishna Rami Tyabilavadinijam Guhidam Duscharitram Narlajasya Sevajan Bahudara Kadhani Yanime Vignidhani Brahami Vandyashilo Bhajananila Vishnumitham Budhamste Nindandi Ucher Hasandi Soinihidaradim Tadrishamma Kudhamam. Even if anything happens to me, the devotee said to Krishna, let me not fall into that state of mind. Let me not become like that. This is what he said to Krishna. Because if by my little association with the devotees, by hearing about you from Srimad Bhagavatam, and by Krishna's fortune, good grace, that I had a good education, that I was able to read Srimad Bhagavatam and understand from Bhagavatam the glories about you. After understanding all that, if to, and little attachment, I have now reached a state of attachment in my mind for you, and I enjoy that a little, not a large degree, a very, very, very small degree. But if I lose that by hearing these words from these non-devotees, and if one day, if I have to fall into the same category of those people, Tadrishamma Kudhamam, don't put me into that situation. This is what he said to Krishna. Krishna gave the guarantee to him that this is not going to happen. Come back and start writing the Ekadasi Skandam. And if you do not find it difficult, I will give the dictation to you. You can start writing. So this is how Srimad Bhagavatam has been summarized. Srimad Bhagavatam has been analyzed, studied and churned by the devotees to such a degree. It gives us so much pleasure in realizing that the potency of Srimad Bhagavatam. What Srimad Bhagavatam has done to the great, great personality. There are so many great people who have well known in the world who studied Srimad Bhagavatam. And there are many others who have not known, who are not so well known, who are ordinary people in this world, who have also taken to Srimad Bhagavatam in the same way. So that is the potency of Srimad Bhagavatam. Tadrishamma Kudhamam. That devotee said to Krishna, you may do anything you like. Even if you don't want me to stay, you don't want to see me, I'll go away from here. But never once at least change my mind, my nature or attitude towards you in the state of what the non-devotees have. Let that not happen to me. This is what the devotee prayed to Krishna. So what we were saying was that these different relationships with Krishna and the devotees, is an opportunity to go back home, back to Godhead. Just like we said, Shishupal, Kamsa and Putana, they utilize their different qualities in relationship with Krishna. We have one quality, and that is our material, our distress in this world. And if somebody says, I have no distress, then all he can say is, good luck to you. Enjoy your life in this world. But that is not the honest situation. We can never say that nobody is in distress. Every one of us came to this world in distress. We live in this world in distress, and we will leave this world in much more distress than what we have experienced in this world. This is the truth behind it. And it is better to accept that truth and to understand that the only thing what can relieve you from this distress and utilize this distress what has come to us in the material life or in whatever life we have is to utilize that distress in terms of advancing Krishna consciousness. And that is what is possible, what Krishna has shown in this particular, when Krishna appeared in this planet. In no other incarnation has this happened, and that is why it is so special. Krishna is so special because of this, that Krishna alone has given this opportunity for us, that even in a distressed material condition, today we were talking in the last class, that how difficult it is, we are away from Krishna in many ways. In everything, we are nowhere near to the standard what Krishna has said in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Either in the Brahmachari Ashram, Grihastha Ashram, Vanaprastha Ashram, Sannyasa Ashram, what to talk about Purusha Dharmam, Sri Dharmam, Brahmana Dharmam, Kshatriya, there is no Dharma, everything is gone completely. But this one thing is still staying with us all the time, that is this distress. And this devotional process has become powerful. Almost all the devotees have gone to Krishna with the distress in their life. It is that distress that has turned their life into happiness. From then on, that was not distress, and that was their journey back home, back to Godhead. So that is the message in the Bhagavatam. We have to go back to Prithu Maharaj's story, because that's where we were talking about. And this Prithu Maharaj's story, the interesting thing is that Prithu Maharaj understood all these things as a king. How many kings do they understand these things today? Or how many prime ministers or presidents do understand that people are in distress? I don't think they understand that people are in distress. I think people are actually enjoying under my prime ministership or presidentship. This is what most of them do think about it. But they have no understanding. Not only that, Prithu Maharaj's case, it's also mentioned that after the Ashwamedha sacrifices were performed, Prithu Maharaj eventually showed to Indra that he has not been performing the sacrifices with the desire to enjoy the heavenly planets. So he was given the title as Egona Shatakradu, and he took it from there. After seeing Prithu Maharaj's heart and Prithu Maharaj's nature, Mahavishnu decided to come and see himself, appear in front of Prithu Maharaj. And that is the 20th chapter in the Srimad Bhagavatam referring to it. And in the 20th chapter, Mahavishnu comes to Prithu Maharaj and seeing a king executing his duty in the proper way, the Supreme Lord is automatically very, very pleased. That is what we have to understand. When one executes one duty properly, Krishna is very pleased with that king. And Krishna instructs Prithu Maharaj in the transcendental life, about transcendental life. Prithu Maharaj was so fortunate that he received instructions from Mahavishnu directly. And those instructions are mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Later on, after he was given the assurance by Mahavishnu, Prithu Maharaj decided to instruct his own people. In one full chapter, you will find in the fourth canto, Prithu Maharaj instructing his own people about spiritual life. Who instructs spiritual life? Which king has done in the history instructing his people in spiritual life? We know in the Bhagavatam, Maharaj Rishabhadeva has done that. Rishabhadeva said to his children, when keeping King Bharata as the king, everyone else was requested to go into spiritual life. So that was the type of kings they were. Prithu Maharaj did exactly the same thing, instructed his people about spiritual life, that materially all the things were satisfied, all the needs were met. From vanas, maladministration, whatever it was, from there to their miserable state of life, Prithu Maharaj brought them back into a very opulent state of material life. And after bringing them to that state, they advised him, he advised them about the purpose of human life. And those instructions in one full chapter, Prithu Maharaj instructs his subjects. And after that, according to the desire of Krishna, Sanat Kumara Maharshi came on the spot. And in one chapter, Sanat Kumara Maharshi instructed Prithu Maharaj about perfecting his own spiritual life, because Prithu Maharaj as a king has executed his duty properly. Then at the end, Sanat Kumara Maharshi instructed Prithu Maharaj about his travel back to the, he is preparing himself for the spiritual world. So, and eventually, after that, Prithu Maharaj, according to instruction of Sanat Kumara Maharshi, executes the religious principles along with his wife Archis, and then they go back to the spiritual world together. So that is where the story of Prithu Maharaj ends, and there are chapters we have to read from chapter 19 onwards, 19, 20, 21, 22, and 23. The five chapters refers to this incidence of this Prithu Maharaj's activities before we go into Prachinagar history. So I'll just read a few chapters before we stop. This is the chapter 18 where I stopped last time. Shri Maitreyavacham Ittham Pradhuva Vishtu Irusha Prasuridhadharam Punarahavanirbhidam Samstabhyalpanam Alpanam Samniyachami Bhavumanyam Nibhavadashravidam Jami Sarvada Saravadate Yadhamadugayo Budaham Asmunno Hedavamushmin Munibhistatudarshivi Drishta Yoga Prayuktascha Pumsam Shreya Prasiddhayam Tanadishriya Samigubayan Purudashiyan Avarashudayo Vidupayan Pindanenjasam Tananadatyo Vidvanarthan Arambadehe Swayam Tasya Vividarandhyartya Arabdhasya Punapuna Purasrishtahyush Oshadayam Brahmanaya Vishambade Ujjamanamaya Drishta Asadvidatratam Pradayam Abadidanadrataja Bhavadbirlogavalaye Chodi Bhudeda Logeham Yajnarte Grasamoshadi Nunam Dhavidakshinamai Kalina Puryasa Tatra Yogena Drishtina Bhavana Adamarkhani Valsam kalpayanedhi kviya yena hamval salathava dhokshi kshiramayan kamana nirupam jadvahanam dhokta aranjavahabahu bhutanam bhutabhavana annam imsinamurjaswal bhagavan manchaneyedhi samam jagurumam rajandeva vrishtam yathapayam apartavabhi vatrande upavartedamevibhavam iti priyamhidam vakyam bhuvam adayabhupadi valsam krutvamanyum pranavaduhal sagalaushadi Tada apareja sarvatram saram adadaye buddha tado nyeje dhagamun duduhu pradubhavidam Vishamayo duduhu devim indriye shudasattama valsam brahaspadim krutuavaya chandomayam shuji Krutuavalsam suranam indram somamaduduhan hiranmayena vatrena virem ojo balampaya Daideyo dhanivavalsam prahladuma surakshavam vithaya duduhan shiramaya vatre surasavam Gandharvapsara suvadukshan patre palpamaye paya Valsam Vishwavasam Krutva Gandharvam Madhu Saubhagam Valsena Bidirojyamna Kavyam Kshiramadhukshada Amavatraya Vahavaga Shraddhaya Shraddhadevadaha Pradalpya Valsam Kavilam Siddha Sangalpanamayim Siddhim Namasidhyamcha Eja Vidyadaradeya Anyejavayinumayam Andardhana Alpudalpanam Mayam Pradalpya Valsam Dirduhur Dharanamayim Yaksharaksham Sibudhanim Vishajabhishidashanam Buresha Valsaduhu Kapale Shrajasamam Tadahayodandashugasarpan Agashadakshayam Vidhaya Valsam Duduhur Bilavatrayu Shambhaya Vashamoyavasam Shiram Valsam Pratvajaho Vrisham Aranyavatray Jadakshan Vrigendrena Jadam Shtrenam Kramyada Pranikravyam Duduhu Svekalevare Subhanna Valsavihadascharam Chabiravivacham Vada Valsavanaspadayam Pradagrahamayam Paya Hirayohimavad Valsa Manadhadu Svasanushum Sarvayasumukhya Valsena Svesve Patray Pradagbhaya Pradakphaya sarvadamadukhaam prudhivim duduhu prudhupavidam evam prudhupadaya prudhivandhada sundamalpanam dohavalsadivedena kshiravedam kurudvaam tadomahivadipveda sarvadamadukhaam prudhum duhidrutvechakaremam prayamna duhidruvalsalam churnayam svadhaksvadanishkotyam giriguranirajanal bhumandalavidam vainya prayaschakre samam vibhum adhasmin bhagavan vainya prajanam murtidapvidam nivasan kalpayan chakre tatatatre tharhanam gramaan puramadutvatrayani durgani vidham Khoshan, Bhajan, Sashibiran, Agaran, Kherakarvadan Prakvudvaihilayvesham, Pudya Brahmadiyalpanam Yatha Asunammasandhisma, Tatra Tatra Udobhayam Iti Shrimadhyayuri Mahabrani Samurta Skandhi Pudhivijayi Ashtadashodhyayam Shri Maitreyavaja, Adhadikshanvajadu Hayamenashalenasa Brahma Vartemanu Kshetre Yatra Raji Sarasuni Tadamipreti Bhagavan Karmadishamalpanam Shadakradurnamamashe Pradhojajnamahulsavam Yatra Yajnavisakshal Bhagavan Hariki Ishwaya Annyabhuya Sarvalpa Sarvalogavuri Prabhu Anvido Brahma Sarvabhyam Logamale Sahanugai Ubagiyamano Gandharve Vibhishchapsarogane
സിദ്ധ വിജ്ഞാതരാധാനവാ ഗുഹ്യഗാതയാം സുരങ്കന്ധപ്രമുഖ പാർഷദ പ്രവരാഹരേ കപിലോ നാരദോദത്തോയോഗേശാസനഗാതയ തമന്യയോർഭാഗവത ഏജ ഹൻസേവനോത്സുക യത്ര ധർമ്മദുഃഖാ ഭൂമി സർവകാമദുഃഖാ സതി ദുഗ്ധീ സ്മാഭീംസിതാനാഥാന് യജമാനസി ഭാരതാം ഉപസർവസാം നന്ദ്യം ക്ഷീരാധന്യഗോരസാൻ തരവോപരി വർഷാണം പ്രസൂയന്തമധ്യുച്യുതാഹ സിദ്ധമൂലനികരൻ ഗിരയോന്നം ചതുർവിധം ഉപായനം ഉപാജഹു സർവേ ലോകാ സഭാലകാം ഇതിജാദോക്ഷദേശസ്യാപ്രദോസ്തു പരമോദയം അസൂയൻ ഭഗവാനിന്ദ്ര പ്രതീഘാതമചീകരൽ ചരവീണ അശ്വമേധാനം അശ്വമേധേന യജമാനേ ദുഷ്മലി വൈനേ യജ്ഞവശം സ്പർദൻ അപോവാഹ നിരോഹിതാഹ തമത്തിർഭഗവാനേക്ഷത്തുരവാണാം വിഹായ സ ആമുത്തമയ ഭാഷണം യോധർമ്മേ ധർമ്മ വിഭ്രമാ അത്രേനാചോദിതോ ഹന്തം പ്രതിപുത്രോ മഹാരഥ അന്വധാവത സംക്രുദ്ധ തിഷ്ഠതിഷ്ഠേജാബ്രവീൽ തം താദൃശാകൃതിന്വീക്ഷ്യ മേനേ ധർമ്മം ശരീരിനം ജടിലം ഭസ്മനാഛന്നം തസ്മൈ ബാണം നമുഞ്ജലി മഹാനിവൃത്തം തം ഭൂയോ ഹന്തവേ ത്രിരജോദയൽ ജഹിയജ്ഞാനം ദാനമഹേന്ദ്രം വിപുദാധമം ഏവം വൈനി സുതപ്രോക്തം സ്ഥിരമാണം വിഹായ സ അന്വന്ദ്രവതവിക്രുദ്ധുരാവണം ഭൃതരാണിവ സ്വശംഭ്രൂം ഹൃദയാതസ്മ അന്തർഹിതസ്വയാൽ വീരസ്വഭിഷമാതായ വിദുരജ്ഞമുപേയുവാൻ തത്തസ്യജാൽബുദം ധർമ്മ വിദക്ഷ പരമർഷയ നാമധേയം തമസ്തസ്മൈ വീതാശമിതി പ്രഭോ ഉപസ്രജിതമസ്തീവ്രം ജഹാരാശം പുനർഹരി ചഷാളൈവ തച്ഛന്നോ ഹിരണ്യശനം വിഭു അത്ര സന്ദർശയാമാസ ത്വരമാണം വിഹായ സ കപാലഘട്ടാന്തരം വീരോ നൈനമഭാദതാം അത്രേനാചോദ്യസ്തസ്മൈ സന്തതേ വിഷയം രുഷ സോഷം രൂപം ജതദ്ധിത്വാ തസ്താവന്തർഹിതസ്വര വീരശ്ചാശ്വശംവാദായ പിതൃയജ്ഞമഥാമൃതിൽ തദവദ്ധ്യഹരേ രൂപം ജഗ്രഹോ ജ്ഞാനനിർബലാഹ യാനി രൂപാണി ജഗ്രഹേ ഇന്ദ്രോഹജഹി വിഷയ അനി ഭാവസ്യ ഖണ്ഡാനി ലിംഗം ഖണ്ഡമിഹോച്യതേ ഏവമിന്ദ്രീഹരദ്വേഷം വൈനേയജ്ഞാംസയാ തദ്ഗൃഹീത വിസൃഷ്ടേഷു പാഷണ്ഡേഷു മധർമ്മണാം ധർമ്മ ഇത്യവധർമ്മേഷു നഗരജ്ഞമടാദിഷു പ്രായേണ സജ്ജനേ ഭ്രാന്ത്യാ പേശലേഷു ജ വാഗ്മീഷു തദ വിജ്ഞായ ഭഗവാൻ പ്രഭു പ്രഭരാക്രമ ഇന്ദ്രായ കുമിതോ ബാണം ആദനോത്യത കാർമുകാം തമൃദ്വിജ ചക്രവാളസന്നിധം വിദക്ഷ ദുഷ്പ്രേക്ഷണ സഹിരം ഹസം നിവാരയാമാസുര ഹോമഹാവനേ നയുജനേ പ്രാണ്യവത പ്രചോദിതാൽ വയം വരും തന്ദ്രമിഹാർത്ഥനാശനം ഹയാമഹേ തുച്ഛ്രവസാഹതദ്വിഷം അയാദയാമോ ഭഗവൈരനന്തരം പ്രസഹിരാജൻ ജഹോവാമനേഹിതം ഇത്യാമന്ത്രപ്രതിപതിം വിതരാസ്യർത്തിജോരുഷ സ്രജ്യസ്ഥാ ജുഹുദ്വന്ദീത്യാ സ്വയം ഭോ പ്രത്യഷേധനാ ോഷധർമ്മവിൽ ദൈവാത്മനേ മഹേന്ദ്രായ രോഷമാഹർത്തുമർഹസി ഉപാവഹി വിക്രന്ദേ ഉത്തമ ശോക വിഗ്രഹം വിഗ്രഹോ മാസ്മിൻ മഹാരാജ കൃതാസ്മജിത്താം നിശാമയാസ്മന്തുജാപുതാത്മാ ആദൃതാത്മാ യദ്ധ്യായതോ ദൈവഹതം നഗർത്തും രണോദേഷ്ടം ശതേതമോന്തം കൃതുർഭ്യമതാമേഷ ദേവേഷു ദുരവഗ്രഹ ധർമ്മപിരികരോ യത്ര പാഷണ്ഡൈ രന്ദ്രനിർമ്മിതൈ യവിരന്ദ്രരൂപ സംസൃഷ്ടൈ പാഷണ്ഡൈ ഹരിവർജനം ക്രിയമാണം ചക്ഷുവിനും യസ്തേ യജ്ഞദൃശ്യമുൾ ഭവാൻ മരിത്രാത്മിഹാമ ദീർണോ ധർമ്മം ജനാനാം സമയാനുരൂപം മേനാപചാരാവതൗലുപ്തമദ്യം തദ്ദേഹതോ വിഷ്ണുകലാസി വൈന്യ സത്വം വിമർശ്യാസി മാം പ്രജാപതേ സങ്കല്പനം വിശ്വസജാം പ്രതീതുഹി ഐന്ദ്രിഞ്ചമായ ഉപധർമ്മമാതരം പകണ്ട പാഷണ്ഡപദം പ്രഭോ ജഹി ശ്രീ മൈത്രേയവാച ഇത്തം സനവഗുരുണാം സമാദിഷ്ടോ വിഷാംബലി തഥാച കൃത്വാ വാത്സല്യം മഖോ നാബിജ സന്ധനേ കൃതാവഭൃതസ്നാന അവഭൃതസ്നാനായ പൃഥവേ ഭൂരികർമ്മണേ വരാൻ നിരുസ്തേ വിരത ഏതദ് ബർഹിഷി തർപ്പിതാഹ വിപ്രാസത്യാശിഷ്ടുഷ്ടാ ശ്രദ്ധയാ ലബ്ധദക്ഷിണ ആശിഷോ യുജു ക്ഷത്രാദി രാജായ സൽകൃതാഹ ത്വയാ ഹുനാ മഹാബാഹോ സർവൈവ സമാഗത പൂജിത ദാനമാനാഭ്യാം പിതൃദേവ ഋഷിമാനവാം ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതി മഹാപ്രാണി ചതുർത്ഥസ്കന്ധേ പൃഥ്വിജയ ഏകോനവിംശോധ്യായാം So there is a chapter 20, 21, and 22 refers to Prabhu Maharaj, which I will read in the next Sunday. If there's any questions or comments, please.
You know, when this devotee was discussing the verse from the 11th canto. I'm a little bit confused. He was saying that Krishna has... it's not because Krishna is unique because he's killed all the enemies.
Mm-hmm.
He's not unique because he's given... He's Jagat Guru.
Mm-hmm.
He's not... Is he unique because it's through material emotions that you can actually come to... I just wanted you to clarify
that. Then, generally, in the spiritual life, according to Krishna, there is three processes: jnanam, karma, and bhakti. Now, jnana margam and karma margam is very difficult to execute, as we know very well the effort required and to make it a success. But bhakti margam is relatively easy. But even the process of bhakti, while executing the process of Krishna consciousness, that one can come to a situation that years and years one is practicing sadhana bhakti, it's not getting anywhere. You're still feeling after 25 years or 30 years, I've been chanting the holy name and I've been following the principles, what I was told is the necessary things to do in spiritual life. But still, am I anywhere closer to Krishna and life is coming to an end? Automatically this will be an issue, isn't it? I mean, it's natural, human nature is like that. That I have done something with, because after all, a devotee is trying to do something in life which is not something, it's a spiritual thing, and success of spiritual life is very difficult to measure also. And the only way you can measure it is only when the response is coming from the other side. You are doing everything what you have to do from your side, but if there is no response coming from Krishna's side, then it is natural that sometimes it can bring a certain degree of, how to put it, you know what I mean, it does bring some difficulty in the mind of the devotee. That is why you find sometimes somebody took the spiritual path and after 25-30 years he felt, I never got any joy out of it. It took 30 years to come to that conclusion. Why? Because out of faith he has done that. And out of faith he did that, but he didn't get anything. He felt that, I'm not feeling any... Sometimes they won't explicitly say this, that I wasted my lifetime. They may not say this, but in their mind, heart of hearts, they get to this feeling, I never had a proper material life, nor I had a spiritual life. That kind of situation can develop in one's mind. It can happen, because every living entity, when he comes to this world, he has certain desires, he has come with certain desires. Now you are trying to control your own material desires and you are trying to think that this is a higher life, spiritual life is a higher life, and you are trying to take to it and follow that path strictly on the words given to you by the great authorities on the spiritual life and by Krishna himself. Now after doing all that, if there is no response coming from the other side, it becomes a purely one-way traffic. And that one-way traffic does cause problems for anybody. Sometime or the other, he will desire that some response from Krishna comes back to me at some time in my life. He will desire that. And as I said before, that in this long span of life, whatever long period of time we spend here in distress, and at the end while living in distress, in the peak of its distress, when we leave the body, even then if there is no response from Krishna, it does cause a little difficulty. So, in a person's mind, what do we have as assets to offer to Krishna? We have got only emotions. Emotions is bhakti. Bhakti means actually that it is the mind that is activated in the bhakti. Like jnanam or the knowledge is the process of intelligence, which is known as vijaram. Vijaram means thoughtful process. So jnanis follow that road, devotees follow the mind. The mind is the one which is helping a devotee to develop that, because it is a mind through all the feelings develops. So the feelings to manifest in a person's life, the emotions are there. That's why Krishna has given us different emotions. Krodham, Malsaryam, Vairabhavam, and anger, lust, everything. And Krishna is saying, all these things are dangerous in your spiritual life. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna puts it very clearly. Kamayesha, Krodhayesha, Rajoguna, Samalbhavam. Rajogunam is the cause behind it. And unless you have purified all these things, you cannot come back to the spiritual world. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita also. And on the other hand, Krishna is offering liberation to people who have shown the maximum hate towards Krishna. Like in the case of Shishupal, he hated Krishna to such a degree that he said, I can't stand him, he said. This is what exactly the words he used when Sahadeva went to invite Krishna to participate in the Rajasuya sacrifice. Sahadeva told Shishupala, you have to remember, Shishupala has come from Vaikuntha. He is not anybody like us there. He has also come from Vaikuntha. He is Jayan Vijayam, isn't it? He is one of the brothers. Shishupala and Dandavatra are the two people who have come from Vaikuntha. Due to Krishna's desire, they have taken those bodies and come here. But when they were here, there was nothing short in them. There were no shortage of anything in them. Opulence-wise, they were more opulent even than Dwaraka was. Because Krishna thought, they have come from my place. And if they lack anything, it is a reflection on me. This was Krishna's thinking. See how considerate Krishna is when he sends somebody from the spiritual world to the material world. So considerate he was that in opulence, Shishupala and Nandavatra were more opulent than Krishna himself. So when Rajasuya sacrifice was going to happen, it so happened that Rajasuya requires tremendous amount of wealth. I mean, it is said how they collected the money for Rajasuya is mentioned in the Mahabharata. And the expense of running one Rajasuya sacrifice is so high, is much beyond any World Cup what you can think of. World Cup is nothing compared to one Rajasuya sacrifice. So that is what you have to understand, and the money required for that. So there it said, Sahadeva went to invite Shishupala for the Rajasuya sacrifice. Shishupala said to Sahadeva that was Sahadeva's duty, to inviting all the kings to come for the sacrifice. So Shishupala said to him, whatever you want, you can take it from here, the money you require. As much gold as you require, as much jewelry as you require, anything you want, you tell me, but don't ask me to come for the sacrifice, he said to him. Sahadeva said to him, that what is the problem? Why do you hate Krishna so much? Shishupala said to Sahadeva, I can't stand him, he said. I just can't stand that person, he said. And he won't even say Krishna is God or anything. You treat him like an ordinary person. That is how Shishupala spoke about him. That was such a degree of hate in his heart towards Krishna. So eventually, after a lot of persuasion, in the Rajasuyam Prabandham in Mahabharata, it is a lot more in detail explained nicely how eventually Shishupala was persuaded to come for the sacrifice and how Shishupala was accommodated in a very special building by Sahadeva so that he doesn't have to see Krishna anytime. For 17 months and 17 days he didn't want to see Krishna. As soon as he came, Krishna was anywhere, he used to close the windows and stay inside. Didn't want to see him at all. To such a degree that hate was in him. So even that Shishupala, and similarly Kamsa stories in the Bhagavatam you can read, very nicely explained what was going through Kamsa's mind at the time when Krishna was appearing. Because prior to that, from Sri Narada Muni, he heard that this baby who is going to come from Devaki Devi as the eighth child is going to kill him. So from that day onwards, the fear started building up inside. So these personalities, they never had any of these processes, neither Jnana Margam, nor Karma Margam, nor Bhakti Margam. But they all went back to Vaikuntha. Krishna sent them back. So why is that? Because they were able to utilize that particular emotional relationship with Krishna to its perfection. In other words, if you have to hate Krishna, you have to hate Krishna like Shishupala has hated. Or if you have to fear Krishna, you have to fear Krishna like the way Kamsa has feared him. Kamsa was feeling the fear for Krishna. Similarly, but our situation is that we have none of this. We have no hate, no love. This is our problem. We don't hate Krishna, but we don't have any love also for Krishna. In the same way, we also don't have any anger towards Krishna. Of course we do get angry when we are in distress sometimes, but that is temporary. But when we don't know who has done it, so we blame somebody else who has caused the distress. But it is difficult for us. We haven't got an emotional relationship with Krishna like Shishupala or Kamsa had. The only thing, emotion that is strongly activating our mind is the distress what you experience in this world. Every one of us. It is a reality that the intelligent person will think that material life is nothing but it is the sum and bond of all distress together. From beginning to end, you are totally, you are regularly fighting against distress. That's all what you are doing. And by the time you live through this world for 60, 70 years, and with very old age, after looking back into the whole life, you start realizing it was nothing but a series of distress from beginning right up to the end. But the old age, because it is so much distressful, that you start thinking, now that I have to leave this world. In the Mahabharata there is a statement, Gamishari Yatha Loge, that you leave this world also in the same way, crying much more than what you have cried when you are coming into this world. So this is the reality of this world, that you can only, all you can do is to continuously accept this distress what comes to you. So the devotees who had understood that this distress what I have got in my life, if I can direct that towards Krishna, in other words, if that burns my heart to such a degree that I depend on Krishna more and more from this distress, that will eventually move Krishna's heart. It will move him. Krishna is not going to tolerate that when a devotee is feeling that too much. And more when one's material attachment goes away and simply this distress is burning inside, eventually Krishna decides that he should have the qualification now, is purified enough to go back home, back to Godhead. So that is why that it is one of the emotions what we have very much in stock with us. Normally else we have got enough for with us to utilize it to such a degree. But this distress is another thing which one can, if properly directed, in other words, if one becomes properly Krishna conscious by from one's own experiences in this world, by the distress what he has experienced in this world, that alone is sufficient to go back home, back to Krishna. I mean, you can look into all the devotees' life, Srila Prabhupada's life itself, if you look back, you can see that at one stage Prabhupada was in total distress in life. Because it's not that Prabhupada wanted to preach Krishna consciousness to such a degree from the very beginning. Prabhupada also had some plans in this world. He wanted to develop a business. He wanted to have a good family and make them Krishna conscious. And then wanted to preach everything. That was Prabhupada. Prabhupada himself mentions that in one or two instances. He mentioned that I had this plan in my mind. But Krishna's desires were different. That Krishna put him into so much distress at some point that family life became useless. Everything else in this world became useless. So at that time, the heart was, Prabhupada's heart was getting more and more attached to Krishna. And that attachment, from that attachment, Prabhupada escaped from the material world once for all. And of course, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's mercy is the cause behind it, that all these things have happened in this way in one's life to allow him to come to that realization, to such a depth of realization. We don't have that realization. That is why we are still looking at different angles and assessing out everything. This is right, that's right, this is wrong, that's wrong. All this analysis is coming to us. The relationship between the devotee and Krishna is a very simple one. And only thing is that hankering for Krishna consciousness is not there in us. To that degree, what has happened to Srila Prabhupada and many others. Look at Guru Goswami and Sanatana Goswami. Do you think that they were in a very happy situation serving that Chandgasi? They were not. They were in total distress. That is why when they sent the message to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they very explicitly mentioned there that what do we do now in life? We have come to this situation somehow. We have been rejected, excommunicated from the society. We had a good opportunity to take birth as Brahmanas in nice family background. We had the good fortune of studying Srimad Bhagavatam, but look at our condition today. This is where we are. And that pain, what was burning inside their heart, developed to such a degree that Krishna could not keep it anymore under check. So then Krishna acted, and then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came into their life, took them away, released them. And you can see, when they were freed from that condition, what attachment they had for this material world, there was no more attachment. And that is why, when they went back to Vrindavanam, after spending so many years in Vrindavanam, writing the books, The Science of Nectar of Devotion, and so many other books which they compiled in Vrindavanam, already they were out of this world. They have escaped from this world, from their consciousness. Bodily they were present here. Eating was not a problem. Sleeping was not a problem. The bodily needs of the ordinary people, they were not disturbing them anymore. Why? Because in the consciousness they were already out of this world. They have gone away from here. It's only they were waiting for the prarabdham to finish. Because prarabdha karma will last, is not what keeps this body in this world. We say the doctors give you B12 injection and B13 or whatever that is and think that you can extend it few more days. No, nothing you can extend. All you can do is to wait for the prarabdha karma to finish. And the Bhagavatam clearly states this. Prarabdha karma is never taken out, even for great personalities. Till the prarabdha karma is over, they have to stay here. But the difference is, even though they are experiencing their prarabdha karma, unlike us, they are not affected by that. Because already they have freed themselves from this conditioned state. They are in the liberated state. Even while within this prarabdha body, or prarabdha body, they are still there. So that is why you find eating and sleeping was not an issue for them anymore. They were freed from that. And whatever their activities were such, that they were able to understand that this Krishna consciousness is the wealth of everything, the highest wealth, and they acted on that platform from then on. So that is what happens, that even human emotions in distress, what comes to life, one can direct that towards Krishna. And if it is directed properly, and if one has understood that properly, the gravity of the situation becomes much more, it becomes more serious, that one can understand that Krishna consciousness can develop even in the distress condition. That's why it's becoming difficult also, when everything is going very well in the material world, it's sometimes very difficult to take to Krishna consciousness. For this reason, that the attachment for Krishna is very minimum at that time. All the time you are enjoying the material world to such a degree that sometimes it is only by the mercy of Krishna that distress comes to us. And that is why distress is considered, in other words, it's a mercy from Krishna also. If that distress hasn't been there, probably our mind would not have ever turned towards Krishna. This is what would have happened. So from the spiritual point of view, some of these material inconveniences are actually a blessing. If this hasn't happened, what would have been otherwise the situation? Why people may say, when I was looking for knowledge and therefore I came to read Bhagavad Gita. When I read Bhagavad Gita, I was impressed by Krishna's knowledge, so I joined the movement. All so many things that people may say, but that is another side of it. Nobody can become serious in spiritual life unless one experiences the miseries of material world. This is the material world is with us, and this misery that wakes us up and makes us the reality. And the biggest misery of all, the death that is waiting at the last minute to kick us out from here.
Just to follow up the point that you actually said. So you say, offer your distress to Krishna,
mm-hmm.
and that is obviously by prayer.
Yes.
Right? But then it's also said, and most of these distresses are due to material inability. We haven't got this, we cry over such mundane things. And we want this, our lives would be sorted out. But then further on, Krishna says, is that if you've got any material desires, you know, you're obviously not a pure devotee. I won't reciprocate with you because when all the material desires have gone, then you'll see the reciprocation. So from what I'm understanding by what you're saying is, offer your distress, emotion, happiness, everything. And if you're crying over some material desire,
mm-hmm.
Krishna will take that distress and eventually take you out of wanting the material thing before you actually have the reciprocation.
Yes, it is like this. Normal people, in the normal state of mind, when they are materially distressed, they go to Krishna with the desire to fulfill that material desire. That is normally the life. But in the advanced devotee circle, their solution is different. When they are experiencing distress in the material world, they understand behind that distress, the only person who can offer relief is Krishna. So they go to Krishna not with the intention that they want to relieve from the material desire, from this fulfilling this material desire, rather than to free oneself once for all from this distress condition. Because material solutions to material problems are temporary. If you have one material problem today, Krishna fulfills that problem. Tomorrow there is another one, next day waiting.
Yes.
So permanently there is no solution. It's only by the mercy of the Shastra Bhagavatam and also by the mercy of the spiritual master one understand that the real solution to all these problems is that we have no mercy from Krishna. That is why I'm suffering in this world. And this understanding, not in theory, in practice has to come to our own mind, understanding. And when that comes properly into one's own consciousness, one will pray to Krishna, no more hankering after material desires, because it is these very desires that are causing you problem after that. So then Krishna arranges the situation in such a way that your material desires go away from your heart, and at the same time Krishna offers you the happiness in spiritual life. When these two things happen, then there is no more distress left. Because otherwise, this is the difference between Sakama Bhakti and Nishkama Bhakti. Sakama Bhakti means the devotion which is attached to material fulfillment of desires. So those desires are there in the Bhagavad Gita. That's why it's mentioned that even if one has such desires, one should go to Krishna. That's the best thing to do. But we should not think that Krishna is there to fulfill our material desires. Rather, we should analyze a little bit more deeper and understand that distresses happen to me because from this distress I realize that in this material world it is not possible to find yet a permanent solution to the problems because of the nature of the material world. It's like that. So rather, I will try to understand and go back to Krishna's world and live in Krishna's shelter rather than try to find a shelter in this material world. So that is where that understanding changes from the devotee's mind. Even in the beginning, it may be with the desires. This desire, devotion could be with the desires. But by Krishna's grace, one day, then the desires will go and one will come to the proper understanding of that relationship with Krishna and the devotee.
So then why, you know, the example that you gave about the devotee being there for 25 years, surely Krishna must have reciprocated with him at some time.
Well,
and he fell and said, my life is totally useless materially.
Yes, this is because in that 25 years of lifetime, he followed the injunctions strictly. He didn't do anything else. You see, the mind is such a thing that if the mind is not absorbed in Krishna consciousness, when you are practicing Krishna consciousness, if you do it on a mechanical level all the time, that is not going to change things very much. But along with the process of practicing Krishna consciousness, one should constantly hear and analyze material world. This is why Shastra comes in. That analyzing Shastra and understanding Shastra deeply is helpful in one's spiritual life. So if sometimes it doesn't happen to everybody, it only happens to some people. Some people after some time they feel that they have not gained anything from spiritual life. That's because if you're not growing in spiritual life, you also feel that difficulty happening all the time. So to avoid that, I mean, if you say that, oh, I have been following the four regulatory principles and I have been chanting 16 rounds, and beyond than that, the mind was not absorbed in Krishna consciousness, more than that, then that could cause problems. That's why it's necessary to hear and study Srimad Bhagavatam seriously. Because all these instructions from Krishna, direct instructions from Krishna to Uddhava, is actually referring to all kinds of devotees, devotees in different stages of their spiritual life. And the process is also such that when you read through, you will understand that what is Krishna looking from me? What does he want me to do? This will become clearer when you understand the Srimad Bhagavatam. That's the potency of Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam will openly tell you that this is what is expected from you. And the life of these great devotees is only telling us that this is how they got there. Vilumangalam's case, if you take. What was Vilumangalam's story? Vilumangalam's story was that at one point in time, he felt in distress that he enjoyed sense gratification to such a degree. He started thinking, disgusted, I wasted my valuable lifetime such a way that he felt disgusted with this life. So at some point, a certain degree of renunciation comes to one person. And that's the point, if directed properly towards Krishna, it can become a success. That's what it is showing to us. So in the case of many other great personalities, you will find the same thing has happened. And this has not happened in many other instances. It is only in Krishna's case that who has shown the special benediction to the devotee, that using any of your human-like emotions to its fullest degree, to the maximum degree, you can come back to me. That is a special mercy of Krishna. Nobody else has given us that special mercy. So therefore, the devotee said to Krishna that none of the other things have impressed me to such a degree as this. That's what the devotee, it's not that he was trying to compare one after the other and tell Krishna that this is better than the other. He felt that this particular aspect of Krishna consciousness has affected him so much that he said to Krishna that many others have preached this Vedic knowledge in this world prior to you. Many others, you have done it again many times, you have done it before. And killing demons and all these things people say about you. But this is one thing I find more attractive in your personality, which has made me to realize that this is the best opportunity for me to come back to you. And so that's the way the devotees reciprocate with Krishna. Krishna wants to know from the devotee everything, what they think about him. And Krishna do put such questions also to the devotees at some stage, only in the case of such devotees, not like our cases. But that's only to indicate that it is all can happen even today if one has come to that level of attachment to Krishna. Bhakti Margam is Bhakti Margam Anadhyam. It is the most beautiful process because it's only in the Bhakti Margam all these things happen. It doesn't happen in the Karma Margam or Jnana Margam. And that is why it makes it very special to follow the process of Bhakti.
I've just got one last question, if you don't mind. You talked about, and this has been in my mind for some time, when you were discussing the Mahabharata, you were saying that Krishna killed all of these demons, and because he killed those demons, they went back to Godhead, they went back to Vaikuntha.
Yeah.
Now, then you told the story of this particular demon that Bhima actually killed.
Jarasandha.
Yeah. And then you had commentary saying that how unfortunate this person is.
Yeah.
He never went back
That's
to
right.
Godhead.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is where I'm a little bit confused. I had always the impression that when the war took place in Kurukshetra, because it being a holy land, and I think you said earlier that whoever dies in Kurukshetra is going to go back to Godhead.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought within Krishna's pastimes, whoever he actually saw or killed, because they interacted with his pastime, does they all went to Vaikuntha? Is that not the case? I'm a bit confused there. Because they participated in the pastime, they are actors as
yeah.
such.
Yes. The conclusion on these things is that we'll talk about Jarasandha first. Jarasandha was one person who had, to a large degree, hate towards Krishna like Shishubala had. But look at Shishubala, he had the fortune to going back. Jarasandha didn't get that. But Krishna made Bhima to kill Jarasandha. Bhima had to kill Jarasandha. Now, in the Bhagavatam, Sri Shivan Sukadeva Goswami says about this. It is the two words he has used. He says there that lack of Sukratam, that means lack of good fortune, that he couldn't even get killed by Krishna. If you look into Mahabharata and Bhagavad, you will see that Jarasandha had fought with Krishna 18 times. And even after fighting 18 times, he didn't get the opportunity to get killed by him. Eventually he had to kill by Bhima. So from Sudeva Goswami's point of view, it is nothing but his misfortune that he could not finish his material world, life in his material world with that. So which you can understand, because after all, every living entity wants in this material world one thing, that is liberation from this material life. And Jarasandha was not an exception to that. He was also in that state. So if you get an opportunity to get yourself liberated from this material world, one should utilize it. This is the Vedic thought behind it. And therefore they strongly advise that human life should be utilized for that purpose. So here we find Jarasandha has missed a golden chance. Neither as a devotee nor as a demon, he could relate with Krishna. He didn't make it a success. Now, as far as the Kurukshetra was concerned, when the war happened, Krishna told Arjuna, all of them have already been killed. He didn't want Arjuna to think that I have killed all of them. He wanted to make that very clear to Arjuna, that all these people whom you are finding here, they have already been killed. And who said this? Krishna didn't say this. Bhishma said that. It is Bhishma who said that. That Arjuna was thinking that all the time that, oh, it is my expertise in the archery or my ability to kill the enemies, that's why we have won the war. Bhishma said to Arjuna, Arjuna, don't be under that foolish illusion that it's you who killed all these people who are standing there, because Hridavadi Parasaini Gayurashna Hridavadi Partha Sakheridam Namastu. How did Krishna kill them? Because at the beginning of the war, Krishna and Arjuna have parked the chariot, and they were sitting in the chariot and looking at this huge army standing in front of them. And Krishna, in an official way, started introducing everybody to Arjuna. Who is standing here, who is standing there, who is standing there, like that. And in that process of introduction, Bhishma says there,
Sthiravadi parasainika yurashna hridavadi. Every time Krishna used to look at, standing there at the corner, that is Dronacharya. And passed on that, with one eye Krishna used to look at him, and with the other eye Krishna used to pass on his life, energy, everything to Arjuna from Drona. That is how he did that. And similarly, Bhishma and so Ashwatthama and so many others who are present there, all their lifespan, their glories, their abilities, everything was taken out by Krishna at that very moment. It was not only taken out, it was handed over to Arjuna. And Bhishma asked Arjuna this question at the time of leaving the body. All the Pandavas were standing in front of him. He asked Arjuna, "Do you still think that you won the war?" He said, Bhishma said to him, that Sthidavadi parasainik ayu rashna hridavadi partha sahe redanum mamastu. Partha sahe, then Arjuna's friend, Krishna, addressing Krishna, he said, "It is you who did that. If you haven't done that, I would have taught this man a lesson." Pointing out to Arjuna, he said that. This Arjuna is thinking today that I won the war, like many other people make claims in this world. But actually, the war was won by Krishna himself in the beginning. But in other words, Krishna decided that they should die, and very moment everything was already decided. Arjuna was only, he wanted to glorify Arjuna, so he used Arjuna as a tool in that process, that's all. Otherwise, it was nothing there for Arjuna to claim anything. But because being a devotee, Krishna wanted to glorify Arjuna. Krishna wanted to glorify Bhishma also. And Bhishma very openly acknowledged this to Krishna, that if it were not there, you were not there, these things wouldn't have happened. These things wouldn't have concluded in this way, the way it has happened. Because Bhishma knew very well that one-to-one he could fight with Arjuna. But that was a known thing, as far as expertise is concerned. None of them were anywhere near to Bhishma, not even Arjuna. And Bhishma's brahmachari life and Bhishma's strength is glorified through Mahabharata. And from there you can see that Arjuna, in an ordinary level, it would have been possible for Arjuna to win the war on his own. But because he said this, that Sthiravadi parasaini gayu reshnavahudavadi partha sahe redanum avastu. So you can see that behind all these, that is Krishna's desires that works. And as far as liberation is concerned also, it's the same thing. When Krishna wants somebody to go back, it doesn't matter if it's an enemy or friend or anybody, he can go back. Nothing will stop you from that at that point. So ultimately, without Krishna's mercy, nothing will happen, even spiritual life, liberation or anything. And that is why drawing Krishna's attention into one's life, bringing Krishna into one's own life, is the most important thing. And the more we become aware of it and surrender to Krishna in that understanding, that is what is Ekadasi Skandam is all about. That process of making Krishna as the center in life and developing that relationship with Krishna, with this understanding that without Krishna's mercy, even in spiritual life, it's not possible to succeed. What to talk about other things? That spiritual life, that is the only way, because in the Ekadasi Skandam very clearly mentions there, Tavahi Karunaya, only by Krishna's mercy alone it can happen. Otherwise it wouldn't happen. That's why all these emotions comes in. Because emotions are the only thing what we have to relate with Krishna. You may continue doing many, many things in this world with the understanding that you will make progress in spiritual life. But progress comes only at the point when the reciprocation comes from Krishna. That's the indication of that progress. So that's what it's talking about. We'll stop there. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Jadi nak dapat apa mungkin?